And I hate being away from this place. I really do. But it's an investment next week. So will you stand with us, please? Because that really, really is important. Really important. Okay. I want to read to you. I want to read to you from just a verse. Sometimes a verse comes and hits you and you know it's from God and you know it's something you've got to share, and it's simply this. It's in Isaiah 33, 5 and 6, and it says this: "The Lord is exalted, for he dwells on high. He will fill Zion with his justice and righteousness. He will be the sure foundation for your times. A rich store of salvation and wisdom and knowledge. The fear of the Lord is the key to this treasure." And that came to me as a really powerful verse that I feel is for us today. And I just pray that by God's grace, just what I want to share in these next few minutes, I'll just be able to clearly do justice to what God wants to say to our hearts, okay? I love what it says: "The Lord is exalted, for he dwells on high." Do you know something? No matter what's getting us down on earth, I want you to know that God is above all that. Isn't that good to know? You know, and you think, oh, that's Old Testament. Do you know when the disciples said to Jesus, "Teach us to pray," he said to them, "When you pray, say, Father in heaven." Do you know what? Of all the things in this world and in this life that would pull us down, I tell you something, there's a God in heaven who's above it all and ahead of it all. And whatever is your concern, whatever stuff is going on in our lives, we come to our Father who is in heaven. He's there. He's there. But, you know, having said that, you could think, oh, well, he's in heaven. It's right for him. We're here. But it actually says, he will fill Zion with his justice and righteousness. What does that mean? You know, Zion is, I think, the southernmost hill upon which Jerusalem is built. It's certainly one of them. And the word Zion in the Old Testament speaks about Jerusalem. But actually, over in the New Testament, it's a word that's applied to the church, to you and to me. The church isn't some religious kind of organization. The church is people. You and me, we are the church. We are the temple. We as a group of people are like a temple that receives and is filled with the presence of God. And it says that he will fill Zion, I believe God's people, with his justice and righteousness. Do you know, he sent justice and righteousness to this world through Jesus. And I love the fact that God is in heaven, but he came down to earth. Isn't that fantastic? And he knows what it's like. He knows what it's like. He will be the sure foundation for your times. I just believe that that phrase is something for us to embrace and build upon. And I think it's really important that as we live the times of our lives, and as we go through times, that we know and are assured with the right foundation with which to cope with those times. Times. There's something we're all subject to. I was talking to a lady in the park, walking her little pugs round, and I've known her for years, and she said to me, "Do you know what? In my head, I feel about 28. And then I look in the mirror and I see this old lady looking at me. I think, who are you? Anybody? If you're young, have a heart, because we all think we're young as well in here. Do you know what I'm saying? We really do. But time takes its toll. And on the outside, we might not be as dapper as we once were. Sprightly, certainly not sprightly. Do you know, when my poor old dog hobbles around the park, she's 13, I think to myself, do you know, I know exactly how you feel sometimes. I'm not as lively as I used to be. I'm not as supple and as limber as I used to be, because the times have taken their toll. I mean, I'm all right. I still do the old jump thing that you love so much. But I get a bit excited sometimes. But, you know, as we've grown up over the years, and as we've... Do you know, we're all subject to time. You know, there are people called millennials. Any millennials here? What on earth is a millennial? Eh? And you've got the noughties, and you've got the 90s, and you've got... I was born in the 50s. Oh, my goodness. I was born 10 years after the end of World War II. After the end of World War II. And some of you were born before that. I can't imagine what it was like living in our country with bombs falling on us. I cannot imagine what that was like. But what I do know is that over my life, I think I was born at quite a fortunate time, a good time, because all of my life it's been quite comparatively cushy. Do you know what I mean by that? You had the 50s, so we were coming out of the war, and we were kind of, you know. And then you get the 60s and the Beatles and the swinging 60s and all that stuff. Then there's the 70s, we all got long hair. Even you had long hair. And then there was the 80s and the 90s, and it's been... We've had our moments. The 80s had a bit of a... But do you know what? In my lifetime, I actually don't remember a time, like the time we're in now, where there is so much fear, so much uncertainty. No one knows what on earth's going to happen next. You've got people gluing themselves to bridges because of climate change. Not that that solves it, you understand, but that's what they do. You've got people, I'm sorry to say this obscene word, but there's the Brexit issue. All right, don't leave. I'm not going to say it again. But you know, whatever you are, wherever you are with it, aren't we all fed up with it? And we don't know what's going to happen, and we don't know if it's going to be a no deal or a deal, and we're going to come out on the 31st, and what's going to happen if we do? And our business is going to go, and is the world going to blow up? I've never known anything like it, these times in which we live, because they're uncertain. They're uncertain. There are people who live near the coasts who keep getting their houses flooded. Like never before. Do you know what? Bible says in the last days, there's going to be some pretty tough times come along. There's going to be some tough times, some hard times. But I want you to know, folks, that we have a sure foundation in these times because we know and serve the living God, who is in heaven, who is above time, who's beyond it all, and who loves us and sent his Son to us so that we can have a foundation for our times. Can I just tell you, if you want to be inspired by faith, don't listen to the BBC or ITV News. It will not inspire you. It will not send you to bed with a warm, cozy feeling inside you. It will send you to bed with, oh my goodness, what's going to happen? Do you know, I would rather lean into God and stand upon the foundation that he gives me for my life and enables me to stand, and having done all, to stand. That's what we're about. That is the sure foundation of our time. You know, times come and times go. In Ecclesiastes, it says there's a time for everything and a season for every activity under the heavens. God's desire for his people is that every time in history and every time of our lives, we are able to stand upon and know the sure foundation. Times. We've all got times past, haven't we? We've all got times past. And that lady in the park, when she looked in the mirror 20 years ago, she didn't see that old lady. She saw a middle-aged lady, young lady, I don't know, I don't want to be rude, but she's not here, so it's fine. But she saw a younger lady than what she is now. All right? She saw, and we've all got times past. And do you know, sir, I really, with all my heart, believe that you're not here by accident today. You're not an accident. Do you know, God knows us inside out. He knows every part of us. And whatever your past has been, God's been in control and above and beyond it all. I do, with all my heart, believe that God has a vision. He sees something in all of us that we don't see in ourselves. And through the past, even if we don't know it, God has been building foundations into our lives to prepare us for the time when we do know him. Let me explain. All of us are a product of our past, aren't we? I was talking to a young couple once, and she was a very traditional English lady. And he was a Spanish kind of, really Latin kind of olé kind of guy. And they fell in love and they got married. And she was used to a very quiet, restrained family. And when he went to his family's house, it was like crazy. They were all kind of cha-charing all over the place, and they were talking, and they were doing things, and they were laughing and everything. And it was a whole big culture change, because one was a product of one kind of bringing up, and the other one was a product of another, and then when they came together, it was quite interesting. They accommodated it somehow. But you know, our pasts have made us what we are now. We have been becoming what we are now. Does that make sense? Your school, your family, your friends, the experiences of life, the good, the bad, the ugly, whatever's gone on in your life has made you into the person that you are today. And you know, whoever you are today, I believe God has a vision for your life to make you what he wants you to be right now and in the future. See, what he does, he prepares us. King David was the second king of Israel. He took over from Saul, who was the first king of Israel, but who disobeyed God, and it all went wrong. When David was chosen by God because he had a heart after God, that's what the Bible says, he was in obscurity. In fact, when Samuel went to anoint the new king, he went to David's family, and David wasn't even there because he wasn't even considered worthy to be there. And it says in Psalm 78, he chose David, this is God, he chose David his servant and took him from the sheep pens. Hang on, shouldn't he have been in university or something if he's going to be king? Shouldn't he have been doing a degree in kingship? Shouldn't he at least do a degree in government? Or get a few GCSEs? He took him from the sheep pens, from tending the sheep, he brought him to be the shepherd of his people, Jacob, of Israel, his inheritance. And David shepherded them with integrity of heart and skillful hands. He led them. I love that. He shepherded them with integrity. The church needs integrity, folks. It needs honesty. We need to be true before God. David was doing an obscure thing. He was out on some Israeli hillside looking after sheep, and God called him in from the sheepfolds. You know, that was his apprenticeship. That was his time past. And because he was a shepherd, he was pretty darn good with a sling. Because he used to kill bears and lions and stuff like that. They used to attack the sheep. So when he faced Goliath, he used his shepherd's weapon. He couldn't have done it if he hadn't have been a shepherd. And he was a shepherd, and he had a shepherd's heart for the people of Israel as well. So he was becoming what God wanted him to be, so that he could become what God called him to do at the right time. He says, David actually says, he lifted me out of the slimy pit, out of the mud and mire, and he set my feet on a rock and gave me a firm place to stand. David said that of himself, what God did for him in Psalm 40. He gave him a firm place to stand. You see, the foundation of David's life and his call was Jesus. A foundation for his time. It was God, but it was Jesus as well. Okay. Joseph, won't go into that, but Joseph had a dream, he had a vision from God, and then it all went wrong. It all went absolutely wrong. He shared his vision with his brothers. They weren't impressed. They sent him into slavery. He became a prisoner. All that terrible thing happened. That was his time past. And then when the time came for him to save his family from hunger and starvation, God elevated him to be the second most powerful man in Egypt so he could do all of that stuff. What I'm saying is his time past prepared him for that. Yeah. And whatever God's been doing in you, whatever you've experienced, whatever awful things have happened, whatever great things have happened, whatever experiences and things have gone in your life, I want you to know that God is building a foundation in you so that he can use you in a way that he can't use me, or he can't use anybody else, because you're you. Yeah. And he wants to be a foundation in your times, in your times. There's the times past, well, there's also the present time. That's what we've got now, isn't it? It's now. And you know, it's great looking back, and we can see perhaps what God's been doing, or maybe we can't. Well, maybe we can today. But we all have a now, and this is it. Let's just enjoy that for a moment. Ah, that was a now. That was it for you. Our nows can be varied, can't they? And you know, as I look in this room this morning, there are all sorts of nows going on in your lives, aren't there? There's some really good things going on. There's some really awful things going on. There's concerns going on. There's fears. There's challenges. There's stuff going on right now for you. Can I tell you something? That right now, in this time, he will be the sure foundation for your time if you let him. If you invite him in. See, the present time. I'm just so glad that in this present time we have a Father in heaven. Yeah. You know, King Hezekiah, he was one of the great reforming kings of Israel. After David was his son Jeroboam, and he got it wrong, and the kingdom split, and there was this whole kind of history, you can read it in the Bible, of all these kings that came afterwards. And they were mixed. There were some that were really awful. There were some that did really well. Hezekiah was basically a very good king. And what he'd done, he restored the use of the temple. He repaired it. He did some good stuff. He restored godly worship where idolatry had got in, and all the bad things. And if you read, I think it's, where are we? In 2 Chronicles, sort of like 29... 30, 31, you can see all the reforms he did. He had a past that was building a foundation for what was going to happen now. And this is what it says in 2 Chronicles 32, 1. After all that Hezekiah had so faithfully done, God blessed him and made him feel secure all the time. It doesn't say that. After all that Hezekiah had so faithfully done, Sennacherib, king of Assyria, came and invaded Judah. He laid siege to the fortified cities, thinking to conquer them for himself. Can I tell you something? That Hezekiah would have been within his rights as a human to think, what on earth was the point of doing all that good stuff when now, as a reward, I've got the king of Assyria on my back and he's seeking to ruin me and to kill us? Do you know, it's that because Hezekiah had a foundation that was deeper than the circumstance that enabled him to get through. He could have thought, what was the point? But in the times past, his right actions prepared him for this time. You see, he had a relationship with God. He didn't just reform worship because he thought it was a good idea. He did it because he knew God for himself. And that knowing of God brought him through into the tough times and be able to face it. There was a boxer called Joe Frazier. Yeah, that's going back a bit, isn't it? Joe Frazier. Who's heard of Joe Frazier? Not me and Mark. That's all right. Yeah, and a few of you. Okay. And he said that, you know, you don't just get up and have a punch up, do you, and hope you win? Eh? Well, you might, but I don't. I wouldn't. I actually had a dream last night that somebody attacked Judith, and I kicked him. And I literally kicked him. And I literally kicked Judith. I was asleep, mate. I didn't know what I was doing. I didn't know what I was doing. I'm not the kind of bloke that has a punch up, but in my dream, I let this bloke have it. That's bad, isn't it? I should be blessing my son, leave her alone. But it was the dream, okay? I just had a dream, and I kicked Judith. She told me this. You weren't making that up, were you? No, I did kick her. That's twice in nearly 40 years of marriage. The other time was when I was dreaming about these black dogs. These black dogs, there's two of them that attacked me, and I was kicking them and kicking them. And she was getting kicked out of bed. So I've been married nearly 40 years, and it's just twice now I've kicked my wife, all right? And I was asleep both times. But I'm not the sort of violent type that gets into fights. But Joe Frazier did get into fights. He was a boxer. But the point, he said this once. He says, it's what you do on the dark mornings that make you ready to do well under the bright lights. And the point is this, that he doesn't just get up there and fight. He trains, he eats the right food, he skips and he jogs and he jumps and he lifts weights and he does that stuff and he works on his technique and he puts an awful lot of time into that so that when he fights the fight, he stands a chance. Yeah. And I tell you something, God wants to build a foundation in our lives so that when the rotten time comes, we stand a chance. Yeah. We stand a chance. Because without that foundation, we really don't. You see, the key really is faith. Faith in God. Not faith in just, you know, faith in sort of like, oh, you know, in my own abilities or I hope it works. Do you know, it's a faith that comes from a relationship to God that we need. That's what it's about. That's really what it's about. Faith is the deliberate confidence in the character of God, whose ways we may not understand. After all that Hezekiah had done, the enemy came and attacked him. But Hezekiah kept his vision on God, didn't understand why this was happening, but he believed him anyway. He did what, you know, it's good because if you read that round that verse, it says he did what he could. He blocked the waterways that would have given the enemy some water. He reinforced the territories, he prepared weapons, but ultimately, folks, he trusted in God. And in 2 Chronicles 32, 6 to 8, he appointed military officers over the people and assembled them. Sensible thing to do. Before him in the square and the city gate, and encouraged them. He spoke faith into their lives because he got it. This is my foundation. I want to encourage you that there's a God in heaven and he knows. I'm standing on that. He encouraged them. And he said this, be strong and courageous. Do not be afraid or discouraged because of the king of Assyria and the vast army with him, for there is a greater power with us than with him. Yeah. Because he's standing on the foundation. He said, with him is only the arm of flesh, but with us is the Lord our God to help us and to fight our battles. And the people gained confidence from what Hezekiah, the king of Judah, said. How important it is not only to know God as our foundation, but to encourage one another with faith in the God who gives us that foundation. Really important. You know, that's the wonderful, that's why I don't like being away from church meetings on a Sunday, is that it's the great opportunity to see you all, to encourage one another. We all know each other, but this is the one point we can actually see each other, because you're all at work, you're all doing stuff, you're all living lives, and that's fine. But isn't it great that we can come together, and I hope and trust, go away encouraged and blessed because somebody has cared for you, built you up in faith, and built one another up in faith, encourage one another, just like Hezekiah did to those people. You see, he will be the sure foundation for your times, a rich store of salvation and wisdom and knowledge. The fear of the Lord is the key to this treasure, having the right foundation. Jesus spoke about the foundations. He talked about two men, one who built a house on the sand and one who built his house on the rock. And when the rain came and the floods came, the house on the rock stood and the house on the sand fell. And he said this, the man who built his house upon the rock is the person that listens to what God says and puts it into practice. That's what it's all about. It's hearing what God says and doing what he says. The man who built on the sand does his own thing. And then when the floods came, when they come, can I just talk to you about, do you know what life is, don't you? Life is about times, good times, bad times, hard times, happy times. When Tom and Jess got married last week, they said, for richer, for poorer. And he said, for richer, please. No, he didn't. It wasn't a choice. In sickness and in health. Do you know, in all of our lives, floods will come. Storms will come. Sorry. Happy days, eh? But it's life. It's life. And if I said to you, become a Christian, follow Jesus, and everything's wonderful. And my life is just problem free. Don't you believe it? It can be problem packed when you follow Jesus sometimes, but he is a sure foundation for those times. That's what it's about. It's not about having an easy time. It's about having a faith that enables you to, having done all, to stand. Nothing can separate us from the love of God that's in Christ Jesus. Sure foundation. And it's that deliberate confidence, even when we don't know what on earth is going on. Nothing can separate us. Who shall separate us from the love of God? It says in Romans 8. My most challenging time in my life, you know, it was a few weeks ago, wasn't it great when Wes shared a little bit about how he had been going through a real rough time. And do you know what? That was a time past that's made him into the man he is now. And he better look out. He's not here because he's got more to come. It's true. Because if he's going to follow and serve Jesus, he's got stuff. I've got stuff. You've got stuff that's got to build a foundation in our lives. And when I, before that happened, went through the most awful time in my life, somebody had heard, a non-Christian heard that I was not in a good place. And when he saw me, he said, oh, I heard about you were going through a rough. Are you having a crisis of faith? Do you know what? The last thing on earth I was having was a crisis of faith. That was the very last thing. Just because things were going up the wall, down the chute, and everywhere else, doesn't mean that my faith was suspect. I tell you something, I was able by God's grace to stand on the firm foundation for that time that made me come through with a lot of love and help and support from friends and family, unbelievably so. But that foundation got me through and I'm still jumping. Yeah. He's a firm foundation for time to come. And faith in Jesus, faith in God, is the means of overcoming. But it doesn't make them easy. But it does make all things possible. Right? Don't give up. Without faith, the Bible says it's impossible to please God. Because anyone who comes to him must believe that he exists. And he rewards those who earnestly seek him, even when the king of Assyria attacks you. Finally, times to come. We've had times past. We've all had them. We've got times present now, and by the grace of God, we've got a future. Eh? Who wants a future? I want a future serving Jesus. That's what I want. You already heard we're going to go away next weekend, and we're going to plan for the future. Here's a verse for us here. It says, the noble man makes noble plans, and by noble deeds he stands. Isn't that a great verse? I'd not seen that before till I saw it. That's profound, isn't it? It's in Isaiah 32:9. And I want you to know there's more to life than what's been and what is. It's in the Bible that he has put eternity in the heart of every person. You might think you're just a human being, but actually there's a divine thing inside you that God's put there. And in every person, God's put eternity. And the truth is this, everyone outside wants to come to know Jesus. They just don't know it yet. There's that ache and that emptiness that's there because that is, you know, faith has a future. It's the confidence in what we hope for and the evidence of what we don't see yet. You see, God is unchanging, but he's also very creative. And as we look to the future, we need to be creative, walking in step with him and keeping on the foundation of what he wants us to do and be. I had a great quote. It's a very loose version of it. But it talks about, you know, I can't tell you that many churches have died because they don't change. They keep doing what they did 20, 30 years ago and think it's relevant. Now, what they believe and what they say is absolutely spot on. But do you know something? We need to relate to the world in which we live. But oh, but those good old days. And there's a saying by Mark Twain who said something, don't wear your grandfather's hat, but buy a new one like he did. Eh? Oh yeah, but in my grandfather's day or in the good old days, he wore this hat and I'm still wearing it. No, actually, he bought it new. Throw that one away, get a new one, and then wear that hat for today. Because God's got a hat for you today. Do you know, they weren't the good old days. These are the good old days. These are the good old days. Enjoy them. And then when you're really old, you think, I was there in the good old days when there was a number 9 up on the wall. Eh? So faith has a future. Hezekiah, at the end of his life, he was a good king, but he did mess things up. Slightly. He got proud, and his true foundation slipped a bit. And sadly, when some Babylonians came, he showed them all the treasures of his kingdom. And Isaiah said to him, what did you show those guys? He said, everything. He said, do you know what? They're going to come and take the whole lot away. The Babylonians are going to come and take all that away. But this is what he said. He said this. The time will surely come when everything in your palace and all that predecessors have stored up until this day will be carried off to Babylon. Nothing will be left. And some of your descendants, your own flesh and blood, who will be born to you, will be taken away and they'll become eunuchs in the palace of the king of Babylon. That's bad. That's terrible. The future generations are going to be taken into captivity and those dreadful things. But this is what Hezekiah said. The word of the Lord you have spoken is good, Hezekiah said, for he thought there will be peace and security in my lifetime. That really is awful. We need to invest in times to come. That's why we are doing what we call succession planning. That's why we are seeking to give authority, to give leadership to younger generations. Not because we've run out of steam yet, but wouldn't it be daft to wait until we kind of keel over, fall off our perch, and then somebody has to pick it up? We want the very best in the future for our church than what we've ever had now. So that when there's a 2 on the front of that, or a 2 after it come to that, it'll be totally better than we've ever known it before. There is a future. So let's have confidence. Let's give thanks for the past. Thank God for what's happened in the past. Not because what's good, it's been good, but in it all, God's been there. Let's thank God and have confidence for the present. And let's pray for a great future. And let's make God the foundation, the sure foundation for our times. Let's pray. Father, we thank you this morning and we bless you that you are vitally interested in the affairs and the lives of people. We thank you that you're here today. And Lord, we live in a time, we live in a period where there's a lot of political, environmental, everything else, turmoil. But Lord, also I recognize that there are going to be people here who are in fear, who are challenged by situations. And I want you this morning just to, if we're allowed to have a quiet few moments, just to come before God and say, look, Lord, I thank you for what you've done, for never leaving me or forsaking me. But I want to come now and reestablish you as my firm foundation for these times. You will know what that means for you.
It might mean that you need to rededicate your life to Jesus. That it might mean that you've lost sight of that foundation like Hezekiah did. It might mean that you need to know Jesus in a personal and powerful way for the first time. But whatever it is, just ask him to meet with you now. Lord, you know the prayers of each heart here. And we pray that, Lord, that you will set us on that rock and establish our going from here. In Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. If anybody wants to talk about anything that's been shared this morning, if you need prayer or you'd like to share that, just feel free to have a chat. I like it here, don't you? Oh, is it just me? Yeah.